Last year, I received the following request. Dear Patrick, I was wondering if you could send me information on where the church says there must always be priests and bishops till the end of time. A friend of mine and I were talking, and I mentioned that you state this in your writings, but I could not tell her where you saw this, just that it is taught in the liturgy. If you can, please let me know. Unquote from this letter from my friend. Please answer question number 95. Do you believe the De Fide dogma that the Catholic Church must last until the end of time? Please answer question number 96. Do you believe what all Catholics firmly believe, namely, the De Fide dogma that Jesus Christ founded the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church? Jesus Christ, the eternal truth, told us the De Fide dogma that his church will last until the end of time. If you are Catholic, then you also believe this same Catholic Church that Jesus Christ founded must ever be exactly the same as it was in the days of the apostles. Unquote. Review this quote given above of what Pope Pius XI wrote in Mortalium Animos. Please answer question number 97. Do you believe that in the days of the apostles there were Catholic bishops, any way for those Catholic bishops to elect another pope when St. Peter died? The Reverend Father Thomas Cox explains the teaching of the Catholic Church in his book, The Pillar and Ground of the Truth, Imprimatur and Copyright, 1900, pages 55 and 56. The term apostolic, when applied to the Church, is synonymous with genuine, accredited, authorized, true. A Church which is not apostolic is confessedly spurious and at once proclaims itself an upstart, an impostor, a sham. It follows, then, that the Church which is directly derived from the apostles is the only true Church. By direct derivation or lineal descent, we mean coming down in unbroken succession from the apostles and having its orders, doctrine, and mission from them. The church that is really apostolic must have in itself everything that the society of the apostles originally had. It must be identical in doctrine, in orders, and in authority. It must teach all the truths committed to the apostles, and it must succeed as an organization in such a manner as to be strictly the same society. It is not enough for it to teach all the doctrines of the apostles if it lacks either their orders or their jurisdiction. Nor is it enough to have the orders of the apostles if either their doctrine or mission is wanting. Bonum ex integra causa, malum ex quocunque defectu is an axiom that has application here. A thing is good only when good in every way. A thing is bad if bad in any way. No church is truly apostolic that teaches a doctrine at variance with those taught and handed down by the apostles. Neither is a church apostolic unless its orders come down in an unbroken succession from the apostles. Finally, no church is apostolic that is not authorized and commissioned by apostolic continuity. End of the quote from The Pillar and Ground of the Truth. Please answer question number 98. Do you agree that the traditional movement clerics have never received a mission from the apostles, since they have never received authority, jurisdiction, or mission from the legitimate pope? Remember, quote, by direct derivation or lineal descent, we mean coming down in unbroken succession from the apostles and having its orders, doctrine and mission from them, nor is it enough to have the orders of the apostles if either their doctrine or mission is wanting. Unquote from Father Cox. Let us recall some other very important truths. I quote from page 5 of Reverend Anthony Shikata's article, The Validity of the Thuc Consecrations. Quote, since no one in the traditionalist movement possesses ordinary jurisdiction, no one has the power to rule on the legal evidence that a particular sacrament was performed and then establish it as a fact before church law. Unquote from Father Anthony Shikata's article, The Validity of the Thuc Consecrations. Reverend Shikata's article has been widely circulated and read by many people in the traditional movement. You can still find it on the World Wide Web. Therefore, it cannot be denied that many people know the truth that, quote, no one in the traditionalist movement possesses ordinary jurisdiction, unquote. There is an article in the Angelus Press, 1997, page 54, titled Most Asked Questions About the Society of St. Pius X. The quote could now also be found on the World Wide Web. For over a decade now, those who read this article know that those in the Society of St. Pius X do not have jurisdiction. And now I will quote from the article from the Angelus Press. Only the Pope, who has universal jurisdiction over the whole church, can appoint a pastor to a flock and empower him to govern it. But Archbishop Lefebvre never presumed to confer anything but the full priestly powers of orders, and in no way did he grant any jurisdiction which he himself did not have personally to give. Unquote from the Angelus Press. Next, we recall that Archbishop Lefebvre publicly, freely, and truthfully told the world at the time he consecrated the four bishops that they would not be ordinaries, that is to say, they would not have ordinary jurisdiction. If bishops do not possess ordinary jurisdiction, they will never delegate jurisdiction to priests because they cannot give what they do not have. The Angelus Press and Reverend Anthony Shikata's articles are among the most widely circulated and read information in the traditional movement. They clearly show that no clerics coming from Archbishop Thuc or Archbishop Lefebvre have jurisdiction. This means they truthfully teach that without jurisdiction, not one cleric in these sects has the right to rule its members. Read another very important teaching found in I Also Send You by Father Thomas H. Moore, Fordham University Press, 1937, page 123. Quote, I am now in a position to identify the Church of Christ by its form of government. Any church which disclaims for itself the right to rule its members sets itself down as not being the Church of Christ. I will not be obliged to investigate it any further. Unquote from I Also Send You. There we have it. The traditionalist movement church disclaims for itself the right to rule its members when it truthfully proclaims that its clerics have never had the right to rule its members, since none of them have authority, jurisdiction, or mission from a legitimate pope. Not one of them has been sent, and no one in their traditionalist movement possesses ordinary jurisdiction. The traditionalist movement sect has truthfully told the world that it is not the Catholic Church. It is time now to study from Exposition of Christian Doctrine, by seminary professor Imprimatur Patricius Ioannis, copyright 1898-1925. Quote, apostolicity. What is necessary that the church be apostolic? It is necessary, first, that she never cease to teach the doctrine of the apostles. Second, that through all ages she be taught and governed by pastors whose mission comes by unbroken succession from the apostles, with the consent of the successor of St. Peter, the head of the church. Power of jurisdiction. Why does it not suffice to be bishop or priest in order to be a lawful pastor? Because, even if one be a bishop, he must be sent to a diocese by the Pope. If a priest, he must be sent into the parish by the bishop. And now I, Patrick Henry, will insert that was sent by a legitimate Catholic Pope. Back to the book. In other words, beside the power of order, one must also have the power of jurisdiction. What is meant by the power of order? The power of order is that conferred on a bishop by his episcopal consecration, on a priest by his sacerdotal ordination, and so on for the inferior orders. 167. What is meant by the power of jurisdiction? The power of jurisdiction is the power conferred by a superior on a subject to exercise lawfully a spiritual function. 168. What does the power of jurisdiction determine? It determines precisely the territory, the things, and the persons also upon which bishops and priests are called to exercise their ministry. 169. From whom do priests hold their jurisdiction? From the bishop of the diocese. 170. From whom do bishops hold their jurisdiction? From the Pope. 171. From whom does the Pope hold his jurisdiction? From Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man. 172. What sort of bishop would he be who did not hold spiritual powers from the Pope? He would be an intruded or schismatical bishop. 173. What sort of pastor would he be who did not hold his powers from a lawful bishop? He would be an intruded or schismatical pastor. 174. Have intrusions of this kind ever occurred? Yes, and particularly in France during the Revolution, when bishops and priests, after taking the oath of the civil constitution of the clergy, continued to exercise their ministry in spite of the Pope's prohibition. 175. When may one receive the sacraments administered by an intruder pastor? Only in case of mortal illness, when one cannot have a worthy minister, is it permitted to receive absolution from an intruder pastor, and even then, only when it causes no scandal to others. Unquote from the book Exposition of Christian Doctrine by a Seminary Professor. I comment, all of the traditionalist movement bishops and priests, by the definition just given, are intruder pastors. They do not hold their powers from a lawful pope or bishop. How can anyone justify receiving sacraments from them day after day and week after week? Pope Pius VI wrote Minime Ignoramus, April 16, 1791, to the Catholics of Strasbourg on the subject of the illegitimate election of an intruded bishop, telling us that Catholics must reject and resist all who owe his title to an illegal election. All consecrations of bishops without the approval of a legitimate pope are illegal elections. And now to quote Pope Pius VI. Today we have written directly to your bishop to approve and to justify, by our well-merited praise, the courage, the wisdom, the perseverance he has shown, whether in his pastoral instructions or in the acts of his ministry, recognizing him as your legitimate pastor, to whom alone you must remain united, the only one whose voice you are permitted to listen to. Any other, whoever he may be, since he owes his title to an illegal election, to violence and to fraud, you must reject and resist. Unquote of Pope Pius VI for this time. Now read from Caritas, where Pope Pius VI tells us what to do about intruders. Quote, carefully beware of lending your ears to the treacherous speech of the philosophy of this age, which leads to death. Keep away from all intruders, whether called archbishops, bishops, or parish priests. Do not hold communion with them, especially in divine worship. Unquote from Caritas. We have just read Pope Pius VI commanding Catholics, quote, keep away from all intruders. Do not hold communion with them, especially in divine worship. Unquote. Please answer question number 99. Do you agree that all the traditionalist movement bishops and priests, by the definition given above in Expositions of Christian Doctrine by a Seminary Professor, are intruder pastors? Please answer question 100. Will you obey Jesus Christ speaking to you through his popes and keep away from all and not hold communion with intruder archbishops, bishops, or priests? The quote, religious brothers, unquote, who write for Most Holy Family Monastery in Fillmore, New York, counsel, recommend, and advise people to hold communion in divine worship with these intruder pastors, the traditionalist movement clerics, as long as they do not give them any money. Please answer question 101. Do you agree that their recommendation and advice is against the command of Pope Pius VI? Knowing the intruders are also in schism and heresy, we turn to the Fourth Lateran Council. Quote, we decree that those who give credence to the teachings of heretics, as well as those who receive, defend, or patronize them, are excommunicated. Unquote from the Fourth Lateran Council. Pope Pius XII, Pope Pius XI, Pope Pius IX, Pope Pius VI, Pope Leo XIII, Pope Leo the Great, Pope St. Innocent I, the Dogmatic Council of Trent, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Optatus of Malvis, St. Gregory of Nyssa, Tertullian, Dom Geringer, Father Clarence McAuliffe, Father Francis Sigismund, Father Joseph Riley, Father Frederick Schultz, Father Thomas H. Moore, Father Michael Mueller, the seminary professor just quoted above, and others I have not quoted in this letter, have clearly explained why no one in the traditionalist movement possesses ordinary jurisdiction. We also know that Reverend Anthony Shakata, the Angelus Press, CMRI priest, and Archbishop Lefebvre have also informed the traditionalist movement members that their clerics do not possess jurisdiction. Please answer question 102. Do you believe it is true that the traditionalist movement clerics do not have what the apostles originally had, namely, ordinary jurisdiction? Remember what we have learned from the Pillar and Ground of the Truth, quote, the church that is really apostolic must have in itself everything that the society of the apostles originally had, unquote. Please answer question 103. do you agree that the traditionalist movement clerics lack jurisdiction, and therefore their sect cannot be apostolic? Remember, quote, "For a church to be really apostolic, it is not enough for it to teach all the doctrines of the apostles, if it lacks either their orders or their jurisdiction. It must be identical in doctrine, in orders, and in authority." Unquote from Father Cox. Much evidence has already been presented to prove that no one in the traditionalist movement has jurisdiction, authority, or apostolic mission. Therefore, let us study the following important section from the Catholic Encyclopedia in Premodern and Copyright 1907, which states the following in Volume 1 on page 649. Quote, "Apostolicity is not found in any other church. This is a necessary consequence of the unity of the church. If there is but one true church, and if the Catholic Church, as has been shown, is apostolic, the necessary inference is that no other church is apostolic." See above quotations from Newman and his difference of Anglicans. "All sects that reject the episcopate by the very fact make apostolic succession impossible, since they destroy the channel through which the apostolic mission is transmitted. Historically, the beginnings of all these churches can be traced to a period long after the time of Christ and the apostles. Regarding the Greek church, it is sufficient to note that it lost apostolic succession by withdrawing from the jurisdiction of the lawful successors of St. Peter in the See of Rome. The same is to be said of the Anglican claims to continuity, for the very fact of separation destroys their jurisdiction. They have based their claims on the validity of orders in the Anglican Church. Anglican orders, however, have been declared invalid. But even if they were valid, the Anglican Church would not be apostolic, for jurisdiction is essential to the apostolicity of mission. A study of the organization of the Anglican Church shows it to be entirely different from the church established by Jesus Christ." Unquote from this part of the Catholic Encyclopedia.